I'm doing a kind of postscript to my story last week and the weeks before, because a lady wrote to me during the telling of my story, and she asks questions like, would I be a different person today if I grew up in a more tolerant society? Would you change any of your struggles, she said, if you could, or have you they been a gift? She says, I haven't followed you through Romans, so maybe there lies the answer. Hence the reason, then, for the postscript today and for the rest of the week. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, thank you very much for joining me. This is a broadcast on the gospel, the good news. I walk through with you the book of Romans about every year and a half, but periodically during that time I'll tell some other things. I will tell my story in this case, and after we've finished, we'll start all over again in the new year in the book of Romans. So, continuing to address this lady's question, would I be a different person today if I grew up in a more tolerant society? For me, it's not so much of what society allows or believes or states as the norm, but I was drawn by the Word of God, and I was drawn by the book of Genesis, not the laws and the rules in this case, but the creation intent of God, where God says, let us make man in our image, and so he makes them male and female. And so I began to see that all the qualities of masculinity and femininity must therefore be in God. He's not only God our Father, he's God our Mother. That is a truth that is clearly implicit in those verses. If God makes a man in God's image, and therefore the qualities of masculinity are in God, then when God makes a woman in his image, that means all the qualities of femininity are in God. And I was struck by that because I needed to see the tenderness and the loving kindness and gentleness of God, as well as the strong, secure power of God represented in the male. But you understand that even though I was seeing all this, this is not what I was experiencing. I was recognizing who I am, a male, created heterosexual, but that somehow it was buried under a thousand fears. I saw chapter 2, verse 18, where it says, it is not good for, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper meet for him. The word helper there, the word meet means suitable, a helper suitable for him. I had to tell God, Lord, I don't see a woman as suitable for me. I see it intellectually, but I don't experience it emotionally. So you'll have to uncover that for me, unbury it. I mean, lift it out of its burial state, buried state. And I saw then, and I saw other translations, I will make a helper suitable for him. The New King James, and I suppose other translations too, say I will make a helper comparable to him and complementary to him. It began to be clear to me that really there is no such thing as the opposite sex, but the complementary sex. Our heterosexual nature complements itself. A man complements, that is, fills out and completes a woman. A woman's sexuality or wholeness is filled out by a man. This, again, was an intellectual knowledge to me. It was a faith knowledge to some extent, but I didn't experience it. And yet, it was the foundation by which I started to attempt to live, even though I don't believe I've comprehended a tenth of this, a hundredth of it. I still have a homosexual orientation. I still have difficulties relating to the opposite sex. And yet, I see the opposite. I accept by faith and seek to grow in the knowledge that the opposite sex is complementary to me. That is, they complement, they complete, they fill out. Not complement with an I there, but complement with an E. Complete, fill out. They fill out a man. And my marriage experience even though it faltered, in the first 10 years was an enormous revelation of that. To see how Sharon, my ex-wife now, complimented me, filled me out, that I couldn't be everything to everybody, but she was the other half of my everything, and I couldn't be everything to my boys, but she was a wonderful everything or something to my boys, so that I was a something and she was a something, and together we were an everything to my boys. It was a very beautiful revelation, and it's sad to me that society today, you know, is constantly putting men and women at war with each other and treating men and women as the opposite sex when they are actually the complementary sex. But something else that was very revealing was what followed from God deciding, God stating that it is not good for man to be alone. Now, what do you think follows from that verse, it's not good for man to be alone? What, that he puts man into a deep sleep and creates Eve from his rib? No. No, what follows is this: out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Whoa, how fascinating that is, I thought. God wanted Adam to understand his aloneness. It's not good that man should be alone, but, you know, I'm sure Adam didn't realize he was alone. He was perfectly happy. He had joy. He was in the presence of Jesus and the angels and the Father and all this awesome creation that he was exploring. How could he be aware of being alone? So God makes all these animals and brings them to Adam to name them. You know that what that means in Hebrew, right? To name a thing is to identify its character. All names in the Hebrew language, all the names of human beings, have a meaning. Now, interestingly, when you and I, let's suppose you're a carpenter and you make a desk or something or a chair, somebody says, "What's that?" I mean, if you're not a very good carpenter, somebody might ask you, "What's that?" But you tell the person what it is, don't you? You don't make a chair or a table and bring it to a person and tell that person to name it. God does that with the animals. He creates them and tells Adam to name them. And what I think that means is that God was telling Adam, "Adam, relate to this animal. Play with it. Use it as a workhorse or whatever. Relate to it and identify it. What is it to you?" And so Adam would experience these animals in a playful way or a work way, tilling the garden and so on, and he would identify them. And as he identified them, he realized that the animals were everything that he was not. This is an elephant, and it is not what I am. This is a lion, and it is not what I am. And the more Adam identifies the animals, the more he realizes how distinct he is. So that finally, he himself realizes, along with God already knowing, that there was no helper to be found in him. And for him. And I felt in some way too that I could not understand my aloneness. Oh, I knew it in relation to the isolation to myself and the separation from a human being, and a male human being. I realized that loneliness, but I couldn't know my loneliness in relation to the complementary sex. I had to learn that. And I haven't learned it fully to this day, but I did learn it a bit more. And as I'm saying and explaining to this lady who wrote this email, it wasn't about what society allowed or didn't allow. It was about the issue of God's word. And so then Adam realizes that he's alone. And then what does it say? So Adam gave names to all the cattle. He identified them. But there was no helper for him. So then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought it to the man. Now, the word rib in Hebrew, I understand, can be translated side. And so it seems that Adam, before this, had all the qualities of masculinity and femininity in him. I know that's a theory. I know that's a theological, philosophical idea, but I believe it's correct. That before Eve, Adam had all the qualities of masculinity and femininity in him, and then God took part of his side, took out of him the side that was feminine. He took out of that out of him, and built it up into a woman. He didn't make a woman separate. He made it from man. That's why we are the complementary sex to each other, not the opposite sex. And then Adam said, ah, at last, that's how it's translated in modern translations, not now, but at last. Ah, at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So Adam wakes up, sees this creature walking towards him, and says, oh, at last, she's like me. She's a human being. And then, oops, she's not like me. She's a bit different. She has breasts. She has different genitalia. She's different. So she's the same and the opposite, which ultimately makes the complementary sex, not the opposite sex. And so Adam sees something that I started struggling to see. I began to see more of it as my faith grew, and I'm still needing to see more of it because my faith is not fully grown. And so, how do I answer this, dear lady? I answer by saying, it's not society that sets me on my track, but it's God's creation intent that society today, even to this very day, is still trying to work out. And so am I. There may be someone out there who has a spare bit of cash, let's say, for new computer equipment for this radio broadcast. I'm broadcasting to you on computer equipment that is 15 years old, and I have two extremely well-informed tech men who tell me that it is very urgent that I get new computer equipment. Tim in England is our international director of FaithQuest UK and works in mission work down in Africa and Rwanda, places like that, and also doubles as our tech director. He has fundraised and bought a new computer and the software to go with it, and he will be bringing it over when he comes next time. Tim comes every year to help me out with all the technical stuff in regard to my broadcasting. And my part of it is to help him to get the fare to get over here. It's $1,200 round trip, the cheap fare rate, that is, and that would be January. And I wonder if there's anyone out there with some spare cash on hand that would be willing to take care of this for me. If you would, please send your donation to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160, and mark it computer. Or if you'd like to take care of it by PayPal, faithquestradio.com, faithquestradio.com. Thank you very much for your help. See you next time. Cheerio and God bless.